A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Lamed, Psachim 30a, pagination page 59, about 6 lines from the bottom, Hahu Tanura. I'd like to discuss this morning cases of kashering china, or porcelain, in Hebrew, cheres. And hopefully there'll be time to touch upon kashering knives as well. So the Gemara tells us, Hahu Tanura, there was an oven, Detachu Beitichya, that they used kosher fat, but it's fleishik, to smear the walls of the oven. Also Rava Bar Ahiloi, Lemechle Lerifta, so Rava Bar Ahiloi forbade them from making bread and eating bread that was baked in such an oven, afilu b'milcha, even with salt, parav, le'olam, forever. In other words, he held that the walls of this oven could never be kashered, and it would forever be fleishik, dilma asi le'mechle b'kutcha. And therefore, if bread was made in such an oven, he forbade the bread, because bread is unique. In English, they refer to it, when they want to translate this concept, the staff of life. That's how the kashrus agencies talk about it when they want to explain it to the companies. Bread is something that could be used, versatile, between milchik and fleishik. And if you make bread that is specifically milchik or fleishik, it has restrictions. It could be, as in this case, that it's totally forbidden. And Rava Bar Ahiloi did not let them eat bread that was made in such an oven, because it was fleishik bread. And fleishik bread is forbidden, lest you come to eat that bread with milchiks. Meisvei, let me ask you a question, which in certain ways substantiates and develops this theme of Rava Bar Ahiloi, but is going to ask a question that it's not supposed to apply in the case of an oven. You're not allowed to make a dough with milk. As a bread, you're not allowed to do it. And if you did, the entire batch of dough made into bread is forbidden because we're worried about what's going to happen. Excuse me. You're dealing with, in this case, milchik bread. And milchik bread is forbidden even to eat as milchik, lest you come to eat it as fleishik. And that's what Rava Bar Ahiloi was based on. The same theme, he was dealing with fleishik. Same thing, you can't even eat fleishik with fleishik, because we're worried you might end up eating with milchik, and therefore we aser the entire batch. Kayotzebo, similarly, turning on to the second side, Ein Toshin is Atanur Ba'alya, you're not allowed to smear the walls of an oven with fat, v'imtosh, and if you did, kolapas kula asura, everything is forbidden, achayasik es hatanur, until you kasher the oven, until you really bring it up to a very strong fire, and it kashers it. Hahusa katanu, but it sounds from this brisa that had they brought it up to that high heat, miyashari, you would be permitted to yufta de Rava Bar Ahiloi to yufta. It's a kash on Rava Bar Ahiloi. He said that the oven is going to be forbidden forever. So we recognize that if something is made as fleishik or milchik, as a loaf of bread, that there's going to be a restriction, even to eat it with the same type. But we do not recognize, except Rava Bar Ahiloi's approach, that the oven should be forever forbidden for bread. Amale Ravina le Ravashi, v'chemiachad itosef Rava Bar Ahiloi. Now that Rava Bar Ahiloi is knocked out, amai ka'amar Rav kederes pepesach yishaveru. We learned in an earlier section, which is how, in a certain way, we got onto this topic, that Rav ruled that cheres, earthenware, pots, have to be broken for Pesach. They can't be used for Pesach, it can't be used after Pesach. There's no kashering process. Why don't you use this kashering process? if we do not accept Rava Bar Ahiloi by an oven, because we believe that you could bring it up to high heat, and that kashers it. So why can't you use that same method being suggested by an oven for ordinary pots? And there are two answers. Amale, he answered him, Hosam tanu shel mateches, over there it was an oven made out of metal. Metal can be kashered. Hacha b'gdera shel cheres, over here it's a pot of earthenware. And that's what Rava was referring to. You might as well break it. It has no use anymore. Can't be kashered. V'ibayaseima, but if you want, we can answer. Very powerful answer. Hava haba shel cheres. They're both by earthenware. But zeh seika mibifnim v'zeh seika mibachutz. It depends where the fire is coming from. By an oven, it's possible to bring the fire up inside it, which is the same place as it was used and as it was smeared, and the heat is coming from the same source, is going into the pot in the same direction. It is going to eradicate, it's going to kasher whatever went in that you didn't want. Whereas by a pot, you would put the pot in with heat, and the heat is coming from the outside, which is not the way it was used. V'chiteiman, if you tell me, hachanami, okay, li'avad le'asaka mi'bifnim, so do the fire, the heat, from the inside of the pot, so that we can parallel the way the oven is being kashered. And the answer is, chayis ale mishum depaka. We're worried, or we anticipate that the owner would be worried, that is going to break. If you would bring the inside of the vessel to that type of high heat, it would break. Hilkach, therefore, haibuchya heseka mibachutzu va'asur, v'imalya gumri shaper domi. If you would go ahead and actually fill it with coals, then it would kasher it. And we have this concept by China that there is a way to kasher. The expression is, Lahadrinu likifshonos. If you put it back into an oven, a professional oven, the high heat that originally crafted the porcelain, that type of high heat would actually kasher the cheres. That's why some people, when they want to kasher china, they use a self-clean oven with the assumption that the self-clean oven is that type of high heat. Experience with that type of kashering has left some reluctance. Firstly, if it's nice china, very often the pattern gets discolored, and also some of the pieces often break, and therefore a rav should be consulted. What's the best way to kasher china if necessary? But this idea, at least halachically, would exist, that if the item was put into such a way of kashering that it's so hot, it's like the original melting furnace, and it's so hot that we no longer worry, chayis aleh, that you're worried it's going to break. You clearly have left go of your control of it, and you're letting whatever happens, happens. So then that could be recognized as a good kashering process. The Gemara continues addressing another aspect of kashering, which is the aspect of knives. Amale Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Hani sakini de pischa. Knives for Pesach. Heichi avdina luhu. What do you do in order to make them ready for Pesach? Amale, he answered, Lididi, what I do for myself is chadata ko avdina. I make new ones. Amale says to him, Tenech mar de efshalei. He understood that he meant literally that he makes new ones. So that's good for you because you're wealthy. You could make new ones. Deloef shalei mai. But what about a person who can't make new ones? Amalei, he answered him, Anokein chadata koamina. I never said that you have to make new ones or that I made new ones. I was telling you how I handle this. I do it as if it's new. What do I do that makes it as if it's new? It's such a good kashering process. It's like new. Katayu bitina. I cover the wooden handles with some dirt, with mud, uparzelayu benura, and then I put the metal of the knife into the fire. I kasher it with libun, with hot, open fire. V'hodama ilina lekatayu beroschen, and then I still have to kasha the handles, the wooden handles, so then after the metal is kashered in high heat, open flame, I put the handles into boiling water, the Hagola method. It's fascinating that his response was, chadata, I make him new. And at first they thought he meant he makes new knives. He didn't mean he makes new knives. He was giving a suggestion that anyone can do. You do libun, it's like new. And then as far as the handle, which is not intrinsically used with chametz, but it's there and it has to be kashered, so on that he goes ahead and does hagola. V'hilchasa, but the halacha is, idi v'idi b'roschen uvekli rishon. You should simply kasher the entire knife in boiling water, hagola method, and that does the trick. Now, in practical halacha, there are two things to be aware of. Number one is that sometimes we are reluctant to kasher knives that have handles because we're worried that there'll be chametz, or if you're kashering from non-kosher, that something objectionable is going to be caught there between the handle and the blade. And this actually just has to be paid attention to. What kind of seam is that? Is it acceptable to kasher? And very often we will not kasher steak knives, the wood with the metal, because we're worried that there's something there in the crevice. If actually there's not, it is possible to handle it differently. Also something to be aware of is that Tosfos points out, the top Tosfos, that long knives may have a different halacha because they're used for roasting. At least that was the style that was used based on the Gemara. And therefore, those long knives, if they're used typically under the open fire with chametz tikka things, so then they would require libun because kibolo kach polto, the way it was used, that's the way we remove the chametz from it. Yeshikoach, have a great day.